This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao. Here in the South, people have strong feelings about snakes. Maybe you've heard the saying, the only good snake is a dead snake. Or maybe you've said it a few times yourself. But those slithery creatures play a crucial role in our ecosystems, in our yards, and beyond. Nick Massimo is a snake aficionado and decided to help his friends and neighbors live among the snakes. If you spot a snake in your yard, he will relocate it for you, or calm your fears about letting it stay right where it is. Nick is a doctoral candidate at Arizona State University and lives in Durham. Nick, welcome to The State of Things.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So take me back to the beginning. How have you developed this unique passion for snakes?
Again, thank you for having me. I am a herpetologist. I don't study herpes. I'm a scientist who works with reptiles and amphibians. And I got into this actually in my undergrad at the University of Arizona. I took a herpetology course and found it really, really fascinating. And the following summer, I got an internship with the Arizona Game and Fish Department, and they knew that I had some experience with herpetology, and they put me on a lot of projects with, herpetology needs. And so one thing kind of snowballed into another.
So you know a lot about snakes. You obviously have this deep passion and years of research. Then you moved to Durham, and you made the very bold move of posting on Nextdoor. For people that don't know it,
yeah.
It's essentially a social networking site in neighborhoods, and it is a quirky place. All kinds of things show up on Nextdoor. And you posted about being willing to help your neighbors if they had concerns about snakes. So talk to me about what led you to that posting.
You're right. That is kind of a quirky site. I moved here from Arizona. I didn't really know anyone. And so I joined it just to kind of get familiar with some of the neighbors that I had. And a lot of times, posts will pop up on Nextdoor that say like, I saw a snake, and they'll post a photo and people will try to identify it. And, unfortunately, a lot of times people will get the identification wrong. And so I kind of just tried offering my advice whenever I could and would say, hey, my name's Nick. I'm a herpetologist, and this is actually what it is, whether it be, a venomous snake that they should be more concerned about and be careful around it. Or letting them know, hey, this is a non-venomous snake. This is how you can tell. Please let it live. Don't overreact and unnecessarily kill it. So one day I was walking into my research lab, and there was actually a really large rat snake. It was a big black one. And so I, went and picked it up, and one of my colleagues was there and took a photo of me. And so I posted that to Nextdoor, and I basically just put out this message saying, hey, I'm a PhD candidate. I live in the Woodcroft area. I have over 10 years of experience working with venomous reptiles and amphibians. I know that people are starting to see a lot of snakes right now. If you ever have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out to me directly. And I didn't think that was going to get as many responses as it did. it went viral in a sense, as much as it can on Nextdoor. And I definitely got a lot of messages that summer.
So, it's not just people saying, what is this snake? Help me identify it. It's people saying, come to my house and please help me with a snake that I'm totally freaking out about. So tell me about some of the calls that you got and maybe one of your favorite stories from one of these snake calls.
Right. So, basically that summer I got so many calls that prompted me to figure out how would be the most responsible way to do this. And so I reached out to actually the state the North Carolina Wildlife Resource Commission, and wanted to make sure that if I was going to be doing this, how should I do it in the most appropriate and legal way? They notified me that I should become a certified wildlife damage control agent. So I did that, and that essentially gives me the proper authority to work with venomous snakes in the way that I can properly relocate them or remove them from a person's property.
Okay, so you got this official qualification. You took it really seriously.
and then
someone called you about a black racer snake that I think maybe was in their basement.
Yeah.
So, tell me that story.
So essentially, somebody calls me and they say, I found this big black snake and it got into my garage. And so it was this person's workshop. And so it was really messy, lots of hiding places. And looked and looked for it, and we couldn't find it. And so I essentially told this gentleman, I said, okay, well, we know that it could be in one of several rooms. What I want you to do is take a little bit of flour that you can bake with and just put it along the base of the door frames. That way we know that if it is in one room, it's either going from like room A to room B. And so he did that in all the different rooms, but then unfortunately he also laid down a bunch of glue traps, which I highly recommend that folks don't do that because it's a really slow and sad way for animals to die. But this person did, and so they called me the next morning and said, Nick, we found the snake. And so I came over, and what was supposed to be a black racer was actually a white racer stuck in a couple of glue traps because it had so much flour all over it. Fortunately, like, you can get animals off of glue traps in a very humane way. You just take a little bit of like vegetable oil and slowly like massage their skin to get the glue to come off. And so got the snake off, cleaned it up, and, you know, slowly let it go.
Oh my gosh, that is such
a
saga.
Story. But yeah, that was really interesting to see a black racer that was totally white.
So, I mean, you clearly have a passion for these animals. You're willing to go to depths of, you know, massaging them in vegetable oil to get them off of glue traps.
Yeah.
But in an ideal world, I mean, we would all be a little bit more comfortable and be able to handle snakes a little bit better. But they're scary for a lot of folks, especially when you know that there are venomous snakes living in your area. So do you have any quick tricks or tips for people in North Carolina in particular to identify the venomous snakes that we see and what you would want people to do when they come across one?
So the best advice that I have for folks is that wherever you're living, you should try and figure out what venomous species of snakes are there. And so there's actually a really good website that you can go to. It's herpsofnc.org. And you can basically scroll through there. And there's a nice section where it will pull up all the venomous snakes, and you can see where their ranges are and compare that to where you're living. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about essentially if you see a snake, what it looks like and how you can tell if it's venomous.
Yeah, like triangular heads is definitely something that I've heard.
Exactly. So I was about to say, like, if you see a snake that has a triangular head, you know it's venomous. So that's a huge misconception. And that's a really big myth that I want to kind of debunk. So there are species of snakes out there that are non-venomous that will display a behavioral response to essentially make themselves look a little bit bigger. And they'll take their head, they'll flatten it out and make it look triangular to kind of maybe mimic a venomous snake. And so not all triangular heads on snakes are going to be something that you can rely on to tell if it's a venomous snake or not.
Are there any visual tricks? I've also heard about pupils, like the way that the pupils look or whether they're up and down.
Right. So sometimes folks will say, like, if you see vertical pupils or pupils that look like a cat's eye, that's a solid way that you can tell if a snake is venomous. So first, I'm not sure if you want to get that close to the snake to be looking at his eyes. But what I will say is that if you think about like a human's eyes and what happens to your pupils in different lighting conditions, your pupils will get bigger or smaller, depending on if you have like good light quality or poor light quality. And so the same thing is going to happen to a snake's eyes. And so under poor light quality, those vertical pupils on a snake are going to get much larger, and they can appear to be like the circular pupils. And so if that's what you're looking for, and you say, oh, well, they look circular, it's okay for me to pick it up or touch it or get close. Like that is a big no-no, and I highly recommend that people don't do that.
Okay, so not triangular heads, not pupils, but you do have a trick for copperheads and identifying them. Tell me about
that. Yeah, so I really like to do outreach and teach people how to identify different snakes. And with copperheads, especially when I talk with kids, I think it's kind of fun. So if you look at a copperhead from the side, what you will see is essentially like brown triangles, or sometimes folks will see like a brown, like Hershey Kiss, like the candy. And so that's what you see looking at it from the side. And like those, that shape, that brown triangle or Hershey Kiss, those lines can be really clean. And they're not going to have any sort of like jaggedness to them.
Okay. I like that. Bow ties and Hershey Kisses.
So, you know, brown triangles, brown Hershey Kisses. That's one thing you see from the side. If you were, let's say, walking around a corner or something and you were to see the snake from directly above, where those triangles meet on top of the snake, sometimes people will see like the shape that appears to be an hourglass. But when I talk to kids, I always ask them if they know what a bow tie looks like. And a lot of times they'll say, oh yeah, you know, and they relate it to some sort of like a cartoon character or something like that. And I always tell them like, well, okay, so copperheads are the fancy snakes of North Carolina. Copperheads like to get dressed up and they like to wear their bow ties around.
That's awesome.
And so it always seems to help like stick with kids. And then I say, like, if you ever see the fancy snake, you know, make sure that you're really careful because these guys are venomous. And you need to like give them a lot of distance, back up and go tell mom or dad or an adult that's around that there's a copperhead here. And just, you know, make sure that they're aware that this is a snake that you can't get close to.
So a couple years ago on our show, we talked with a herpetologist, Jeff Bean, and the headline that we used for that story was why you should let a copperhead live in your backyard. And I will tell you, it is the most viral State of Things segment that we've ever done, because people have a lot of strong feelings about letting the copperheads who they find in their yards stay there. So what is your advice for people who want to know whether they should let that copperhead that they found under the pile of leaves stay in their yard, or should they call someone like you to get it taken away?
Well, I know Jeff, and I totally agree with him. If you find a copperhead in your yard under a pile of leaves, I completely agree with him. And like, I think that you should let it stay there. From my standpoint and what I am doing, I'm trying to do what I think is potentially best for everyone involved. So I say that from the standpoint of like conservation biology, and trying to do what's best for, people and, pets and young children. So I would much rather have somebody, if they're saying, oh my gosh, there's this venomous snake in my yard and I just cannot let it stay here. Like, I have to move it or I have to kill it. I would much rather them call somebody like me and who's trained to pick it up, safely move it to an area where it's going to be okay. And that way, the person who's not trained doesn't potentially get bit. They don't have any pets or children that's going to get bit. And like, everybody wins in that scenario. So the animal survives, the people are safe, and, you know, like I can come help somebody. Like, that's what I would prefer. And I don't see that being a bad thing. And if I can also talk to them and help educate them about ways that, like, these snakes are good and debunk this, I think that's the perfect outcome.
Nick Massimo,
that's why I like to do this.
Yeah, thank you so much. Nick Massimo is a doctoral candidate at Arizona State University and a North Carolina wildlife damage control agent. Thanks so much, Nick.
Thank you very much.
You can find out more about him and everything we talked about today at our website, stateofthings.org.